the Notcast, episode 233, Hither and Yon. We're not dead! Yay!
Yay!
I'm Saverin.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
I'm Shiva.
And we're Notcast.
And we're back.
Yes, we're back.
Shady's back.
Back again.
No, we're not
Hi
doing
Joe
that.
Hi, wife. Hi, Joe kids. Wait.
I think so you got a little mixed up there, Saverin.
Like, nearly a month since we last recorded an episode.
Mm-hmm.
Just because everybody's schedule went nuts.
Yep.
So, mine didn't, but you two's, y'all's certainly.
Uh-huh.
We're busy.
Yes, we were busy, busy bees.
I had places to be and people to do.
That's right, and lots of conventions.
Oh my god. You've had, like, all the conventions.
I know, it's been crazy.
And, you were out in the out visiting them Yankees.
Yes.
Up in the Northeast for a bit, and me, well, I was just here in Texas. Doing what I do.
Yep.
So.
Which is masturbating caged animals for artificial insemination.
What?
It's an important field.
It is.
Okay.
It's a line from Clerks. The person buying it was buying, like, hand lotion and, I think, like, paper towels or something like that.
Oh, I was like, I don't know, but I'll just agree. Sure. It certainly sounds more exotic than audiobook producer.
I don't know. Audiobook producer sounds...
It's pretty cool.
Pretty ballin'.
It's, you know, a legit thing.
Mm-hmm.
Isolation Play is now available on Audible, so you should go buy that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We need to get an Audible thing, like you said. An Audible partnership, so we mm-hmm. get a coupon code. Sign up with our coupon code, NOT.
Yes.
And that way you can get free trials and books, and if... Well, kickbacks. Yeah. Kickbacks are good, too.
Yeah.
So, there's been a lot of stuff going on, but, you know, I think we'll let our listeners kind of do a lot of the talking about the cons, considering we did request a bunch of con reports.
Yeah.
And you can just sort of run us down some stuff too, Fuzz.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, and Shiva can talk about her beer adventures.
My beer adventures? Sarah kind of drank his way through our trip. In a good way.
Tumblr adventure awakes. Organic SEO.
Yeah, for some reason we got spam for Furry News Network, and I'm like, we're not... What?
Yeah, that's really weird. YouTube.
So we don't have anything to do with Furry News Network, I don't think.
No.
I mean, they're perfectly fine for what they do, I guess, but we don't exactly...
They're perfectly cromulent.
Yes.
Which is a wonderful word.
I guess.
Cromulent?
Yes.
What does it mean?
It's hard to describe.
Google that shit.
Like, I don't know. I'm like, good in a way. You know?
So, I recently took a trip up to the Northeast. And I went and visited my mom. Didn't see any of the rest of my family. Took my two mates with me, both of which have, one has a running disagreement with my mother, and she hasn't liked him for a couple of years, and Sarah got to see the more annoying side of her. So by the time we parted ways, for a different leg of the trip, he was ready to kill her. I'm surprised that she survived.
Yeah.
So we started out just by tootling around Southeast Mass. Showed them where I grew up and just kind of this is where I'm from. We did a lot of sightseeing. We rented a car, which was a pretty epic. So we landed in Boston really late. Our plane was a little late, not much, like 20 minutes. I was supposed to pick up my car at midnight. We got there like 20 minutes after. We didn't get our car until almost 3 a.m., they had one guy at the counter and like 25 people in front of us, and he was slower than Christmas.
God, that was even slower than our burger experience tonight.
Yeah, so we're waiting, and we're all taking tag teams of going and standing in line while the other two sit down. Mm-hmm. Because you'd stand forever, and it's like, oh, God, my feet are, you know, and so one of us would go cycle up.
Yeah.
And just people were angry in the line, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
So I get up to the counter. I had originally rented the itty-bittiest, cheapest car I could. And get up to the counter, and after waiting in line for hours, it's like, okay, we're really mad. This has been really, it's like, what do you want me to do? He was really confrontational about it. I'm one guy, what do you want me to do? And he kept kind of pushing. It's like, okay, wow. So finally I say, free upgrade. And he's like, and he instantly changed his tone. He's like, that I can do. I can do that. And I was like, wow. Cause I think instead of like, budget has changed their, okay, make the customer ask for it because people are more likely to be hesitant to ask for things.
That's really bad customer service though. Cause yeah. It forces them into that confrontational kind of attitude.
Yeah. So if you want to make them happy, they're forbidden for making any gestures until the client tells you what they'd want to do to make it better, because that forces the customers to pony up into saying that they want something free.
Right.
But I'd read that this was an increasing technique in the service industry, just because it then makes the people complaining feel guilty. As soon as I did that, he lit up and said, okay, what's too big? I mean, what car is too big? It's like, we can drive anything.
Well, Siam, I have that stretch Hummer.
Well, Siam had previously worked in doing car rentals, and he was like the cleanup guy. So he's driven cars all over, delivering them, taking them to get cleaned, just whatever. And he's driven all kinds of vehicles. So we, instead of like getting some kind of like itty bitty, I'm trying to remember what the original model was going to be, we ended up getting a Grand Caravan, the latest, like it was like a 2013 model. At all the bells and whistles. It was super comfy and it was huge. And for a, it looked like a bastard child between an SUV and a minivan.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was interchangeable. You couldn't tell what it was. It still got like 25 miles to the gallon, which for an SUV and minivan is pretty darn good.
Yeah.
More than that with my mom. And then when we picked up my best friend, it was super comfy. And I'm glad that we got this because we ended up putting over 2,100 miles on it throughout the entire trip. Because basically what we would do is we would get up in the morning, get dressed, get showered, eat something, and then climb in the car. And then we would drive all day to do different things and then come back and crash. So we'd pretty much just drive every day to get places. So we did like a brief tour of Boston. We went up and toured the Sam Adams Brewery, which of course Sarah loved, and that began our beer adventure.
Beer venture.
So he got to try. By the time the trip finished, he had tried 32 different beers. He'd had a couple of them before, like some of the Sam Adams ones. But the other 32 beers in a little over a week's time was basically, they weren't 32 full-size beers, admittedly, because what we do is we go to like a local brewery, they get like little samplers. So they're like little 4-ounce glasses, and you get like between 4 and 6 of them. They're called flights. And he and I would split one of those, and then he would usually order a full-size one of the one he liked best. And I would usually help him with it. So he... Some of these 32 beers were little itty-bitty half, like, 2-ounce sips to taste it. But that's still a heck of a lot of beer variety. So we tootled around Boston. We went to the Boston Aquarium, which I remember from being a wee little one, because we did that for school trips. Then we said goodbye, thankfully, to my mother. Thankfully. And, we go up and we visit my best friend. This is the gal who pretty much got me into furry. And by getting me into furry, I mean we discovered we both love drawing Ninja Turtles. And then we drew other kind of animal people. And that's where we started drawing furry before we even knew what furry was. We were just drawing animal people. So we've had that connection of art for forever. We've gone our different ways. Like, she continued doing an art, and she's now more of a, I think she's going for her master's now, and then on to her doctorate. And she lives up in Keene, New Hampshire, which is not terribly convenient to anything else we wanted to do. So basically we had to drive up to Keene, get a hotel, go drive all over the state in the morning, and be back in Keene by the time she got off of work and done with school so that we could visit for a little while, and then we did that again. She actually managed to get a full day off, so she and I took the guys, and we took them all over and took them to all the little places that only really locals would know about. There's this place and this place and this place all over the map. So we dragged them hither and yon, and then, you know, brought her back. The one really notable thing of that trip is when we got up there, as soon as we walked in the door from that first day out hither and yon, her wife says, you need to look at your netbook. And she's like, why? Your son said he fixed it. She picks it up and looks at it, and the screen is cracked. He'd fixed it by hitting it with a screwdriver.
That sounds...
How old's the son?
4.
Oh, all right.
So, admittedly, it's her fault for leaving it out where he could get to it, but he's also really good at getting to it. They haven't found a place yet where he could really not... He's a problem solver, and he's kind of smart.
Yeah.
So, she can... It still worked if she hooked it up to an external monitor, but it had already been acting up, and now she couldn't take it with her to class. So this was really something.
Nice.
They were on a super tight student budget because they're both working part-time because they're both in school, plus all the school bills. It's like, this is a disaster. So pretty much me and Siam look sidelong at each other, and when we had to take off for a full day because she had class late into the evening... We picked up a really, really cheap Asus laptop that Best Buy had on sale. So it was a happy birthday, Hanukkah, Christmas, Yule for the rest of your life birthday present. Because other than that,
Christmas, Hanukkah, Quantica.
Yeah, I was looking for a card. I wanted to say Happy Arbor Day, but I couldn't find an Arbor Day card. So we kind of surprised that.
That's cool.
There were only two major things that, other than that, is we did one of the really scenic drives across New Hampshire. It's called the Kangamangas Highway. It's a really pretty drive through a state park, and just driving and then suddenly hearing Sarah pipe up from the backseat, oh, wow! And because we've just passed one of the really good mountain vistas, and suddenly we're pulling off and taking photos. These are things I grew up seeing. They're still magnificent. But seeing someone else get that gut punch of, oh my God, that's magnificent.
Dude, that's freaking sweet.
So
this mountain vista is so much better than Windows Vista.
the thing where the car got us in potential trouble, or nearly, there's Mount Washington. Mount Washington is the highest peak in the Appalachian Mountains. It's kind of in northern... eastern kind of quadrant in New Hampshire. There's two ways to get to the top. There's an old cog railway, which apparently one train a day is like coal and the rest are diesel. I had the misfortune to take the coal train up when I did as a kid, and I remembered it being a miserable, dirty experience. So I wanted to do the auto road. I'd never done the auto road. I heard it's really pretty, and it is. It's also a winding 8-mile goat track, which when you're driving a huge SUV... is very nerve-wracking. The road is incredibly well-maintained, but there are no guardrails, which means you're looking down, and the road keeps going down. And you've got beautiful vistas in front of you, except you're gripping the steering wheel for dear life. So Siam drives the way up the mountain, and by the time we get to the top, he is white-knuckling it. He's like, oh, my God, I would stop, except there's no real way to get back down. So he white-knuckles it up to the top. We park, and he is just, like, shaking because it was that bad. I don't think it would have been that bad in a little car, but in a tall, wide SUV, nightmarish. So we get up there and we look out and look at all the pretty views up there, take lots of photos. Sarah's apparently kind of scared of heights, but he faced it pretty well. And after a little while calming down, it's like, okay, well, we got to get down the mountain somehow. If there was any other way, but there's not. So we pile back in the car. Cyan agrees to drive down, and we discover that going down the mountain is so much less nerve-wracking than going up. Because going up, you have a very limited line of sight. You can't really see what's coming down the mountain in front of you. But with the way that the roads are angled going down, you can see for forever in front of you, which means you can anticipate cars coming around the corner better. You can, you know, just... For some reason, it was miles easier going down the mountain. So by the time we were got down off the mountain, they were just kind of like, oh, that wasn't bad at all. We drove all over. Took Sarah over to P in Maine. So he could say he was been to Maine.
I have pissed in Maine.
We got gas and Sarah took a piss in Maine. And then we headed back down. The only other thing of note was... we went down to the last day of the trip before we went back down to visit Mom again. And we had decided that we were going to do Cape Cod, which if you're not from that area country, to get out to the tip of Cape Cod, P-Town, which is a huge gay community, it's kind of a narrow, winding, very limited access road, as in there's two lanes for most of the way, it goes down to one, and if you get stuck behind a slow car, it's a long time getting out there. When we originally planned the trip, it was forecasted to be sunny. By the time the day got there, it was gray, cold, and a good stiff wind. So, well, we had really, really, really good luck with finding random food the rest of the trip. Our decision to eat seafood in... What?
I'm just getting some weird interference.
Oh, I was rubbing my hands together.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
It's like making a weird echo. That's... Hello? Echo? Okay. No, it happens when we talk.
Yeah, that switch.
Well, I think it's picking up something from over there. It'll be okay.
Okay. Well, we'll just cut this out.
Saffron's not going to cut anything out.
Yeah, just keep talking.
We'll fix it in post.
We had been using
Foursquare. We'll do it live.
So we've been using Foursquare and Yelp to find neat places to eat the entire trip and had really good luck. So we decided we wanted seafood out in P-Town. It was going to be the one big meal. So we find this place and we decide to eat there. It's a seafood place, kind of ritzy going inside, a little bit more than I wanted to do, but what the hell. It's called the Lobster Pot. Okay, we're on Cape Cod, we're on P-Town, and we're in a place called Lobster Pot. We're going to get lobster. So me, Sarah, and my mom all order variants on lobster dishes. Mm-hmm. And Siam just got a fried basket of different things like calamari and clams and fish and doodads. You find it all up and down the Cape. It's very common. And his is dynamite, and the chowder's dynamite, and our three dishes are horrible. They are craptastic, and they were the most expensive part of the meal. We went to the lobster part, and the worst thing about the meal was the damn lobster, and it was hideous and horrible. And we were so mad. We were really, really mad. And when we looked closer at all those reviews, we realized a bunch of them were repeats, and a lot were by employees. So it looks like they had kind of nudged their employees of, hey, if you've got a smartphone, go leave reviews. Go bump us up. Yeah. And it's like,
that's the real Slim Shady.
Yeah.
Other than that, I mean, it was, we ate and drank our way through the trip. And I've ruined apple cider for forever for Sarah because there's a little shack that presses its own up by where I grew up, and we stopped and picked up a couple gallons, one for my mom, one for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so he'd had fresh pressed apple cider, not like the processed stuff with like extra acid that you find in the stores down here, but it's unprocessed. There's nothing at it. It's just apple cider. So drink it or it's going to go hard really fast. And he's like, you've ruined me.
Apple cider getting hard. Omer.
So he's like, you've ruined me on apple cider forever. It's like, you're welcome. Sad face. But that was basically it.
Casual cider.
So except for wanting to kill my mother, a poor car rental experience that actually turned out in our favor, because the car we ended up with when I priced going that way originally was going to run us like 400 more. So, yeah, it was a pretty good trip. I'm glad I did it, but oh my God, I'm sick of driving.
Well, hey, now you're back in town just in time for you to not drive out to Oklahoma in a couple of weeks.
Oh, well. So, that was my big, long epic.
So, God, that noise is really weird.
That, like, hiss.
Yeah, you hear it now?
Oh, I heard it.
Oh, okay.
Start with.
Yeah. Okay, so, God, where to start? So, I did 3 cons in 3 weeks.
Well, what we could do is we could read the emails that correspond to the cons that you went to.
Yeah.
And just talk about it from there.
Okay.
Get 2 birds with 1 stone.
Do you want to go find the rainforest ones, and we will start from there. What is this?
Guy. There's one vaginas. By Pyro Wolf.
It's...
Pyro Wolf did one for rainforest.
Oh, good. Ah, oh, they're... Jesus.
Thanks, Reddit. God damn it.
Thread it. Okay. Yeah, oh, and there's a search function on this, so that will totally make things easier.
Mm-hmm. You want me to read this rain first one, or do you want a Savern, since I just talked a lot?
Yeah, have Savern do it.
It's...
Yikes. And I am digging around in places I ought not to right now.
That's what you get.
I'll save that for later. Okay, so, Rainforest. That one's, like, way down at the bottom, isn't it?
No, it's on 9:30.
Rainforest After Action Report.
Right. Goodness.
Let's go, nigga. Come on.
I'm finding it.
Come on, Whitey.
9:30.
I'm pretty white, yep.
Kill Whitey.
No, we need him.
No. So,
you don't know why we
are. No one is there. There's less white meat to go around.
Sorry, I'm gonna touch you like a Pokemon.
It's just like a Pokemon.
I can just keep pressing him until the hearts come out.
Or the blood.
Or the cum. Rainforest After Action Report.
My Friends. Dick's not.
Unicorn mayonnaise. Friends, furries, not casters. Where do I even begin?
Lend me your ears.
Oh. Well, first off, I managed to survive my first furry convention. Though, to be completely honest, all the whinging and whining and doubt that I had completely unfounded fears were mostly for naught. I think I even managed to escape the specter of con crud in large part, though saying so seems to be tempting fate. Ah, well, a little cold didn't stop anyone. Secondly, Line Con. Oh, the Line Con. Fuzz, who's probably going to be absent at this reading due to his insane schedule.
Hi.
had it right when he went as a sponsor or whatever level he did end up going as.
Patrons and I went as the guest of honor level. I highly recommend it.
Yes. Patrons and sponsors went into infinitely smaller lines, while the rest of us unwashed plebeians had to suffer in our own stench. Though the last sentence is mostly an exaggeration, I didn't have any encounters with natural musk, aside from possibly in line for registration and a few times while I was in the video gaming room. Oh my God, video game rooms always stink by the end of the weekend. I would know.
Because they're fairly small, and all the machinery makes everything hot.
And people are in there all the time.
Yeah.
Everyone smells else like knew a the meaning ball of soap. Sack. And honestly, I thought I might end up being that guy by accident because I forgot to pack my deodorant. Though I heard of an incident where somebody walked by the baby for a room and was subjected to an unholy stench. Not even going to go there.
Lordy.
Since I'd been terrible and hadn't really arranged to meet anybody before the con, except for promises to maybe see somebody, I leaned heavily on the panel schedule. Luckily, RF had a strong set of panels I was interested in, and had plenty of stuff to do otherwise. I ended up missing a few panels that I wanted to see, but I don't think I had a poor experience for it. Ended up hanging out with a few people I managed to run into, and that was pretty cool as well. I also wandered into the dealer's den and spent a chunk of change getting all the books.
All of them.
My bag was at least 5 pounds heavier from all the book swag.
Awesome.
The only thing
Buzz likes
weird...
hearing that.
Yes.
The only thing that was weird were some of the fursuits, and by fursuits I'll extend the word to mean costuming in general. Some people had on some really aggressive outfits, including at times when there were children around, potentially. But then there were just the plain weird, including a guy who wore a latex inflatable otter suit. So weird. But despite all that, RF 2013 was super fun and hell. I managed to get myself onto a podcast, Fangs and Fonts. Also, Kyle Gold is a bastard because he signed a copy of X, which was also in.
Which I was also in,
pushed that person to ask me to sign it as well, and that was super embarrassing. But other than that, that was pretty fun, and I hope to attend at least Rainforest again, if not another FurryCon as well. Maybe Furry Fiesta.
Yay.
Cheers, Pyro.
Yeah, I was kind of talking up Fiesta to folks that were like, wow, this was a cool first con. I should totally do another con.
Go to Fiesta.
It's like, Furry Fiesta.
Rawr.
Oh.
What, you mean they didn't try to stab you for promoting another con at theirs?
No, not at all. Oh, amazing, right?
I know, right? So that's cool. Rainforest, did you, were you on to talk about that or no? That was like the first
The first of the three cons. And since that's the only email we've got about Rainforest, let me go ahead and talk about Rainforest.
Go ahead.
Okay, so the podcast that he mentioned, Fangs and Fonts, it is a new, obviously from the name, writing-based podcast. Star some of the folks up in Canada.
Sweet.
I'll probably leave somebody out, but Voice, Ocean, Roland, and Voice's girlfriend. I'm so sorry. She's relatively recent on the show, so I've totally forgotten her name. But they also do side segments when they record at cons and they don't have a real specific topic, and they call those episodes Shit Write or Say. So, basically, they set up one mic in the patron lounge at Rainforest, and there was like 11 of us on there all together, and we just sort of went at it, just discussing all manner of things. So, yeah, give that a listen. It's kind of crazy, but yeah, Fangs and Fonts, they're on iTunes, so just iTunes search it. And yeah, Shit Writers Say it should be the latest episode.
Do it. Do it, Phillies.
The con was good. Attendance was up. Sales were steady. Couple hiccups here and there, but nothing that ruined the con experience. Some of our friends who are also working as editors on one of our anthologies were in charge of the patron lounge. So it was kind of cool. I could just mosey on up there whenever. They usually had some pretty good food going on. Fuck, that was, it's so weird. Like, it was just 3 weeks ago, but I've done so much since then.
It's a blur.
Yeah, I'm having a real hard time remembering any specific conversations or events. One thing I do want to... It'll come to me gradually. One thing I do want to say about Rainforest... because Four Planet was a guest of honor this year, I ended up doing, I think, 6 panels altogether. Mm-hmm. And I found I actually really enjoyed them.
Sweet.
Doing the panels?
Doing panels, yeah. Like, usually I don't do panels. I usually only do panels when somebody specifically asks me to do one. Like at FC a couple years ago, I was on the podcast and content panel and another... panel
the
about
podcasting content panel. You won't fucking believe what we talk about week to week.
Thank you for that visual depiction, Zavern. I ended up on more than usual and I really quite enjoyed it. Everybody got to do their own GOH Q&A panel where, you know, it was pretty straightforward. It was me, Tieran, and Buck.
Mm-hmm.
I decided, well, let's go ahead and introduce ourselves for anybody who's not familiar with us. The room was actually had a pretty good attendance in it, which was cool. And then we'll talk a little bit about what we do, and then take questions from the audience. And people had a lot of questions. Who the fuck are you? Okay, maybe not. I just told you that, my introduction. But people were really engaged, and they were really interested in us. And I actually really, it was really nice sitting with people who were there because we were publishers and they were interested in what we do and they were supportive. And it was just really nice. And I try not to brag too much or anything about For a Planet. I mean, I really enjoy what we're doing. It means a lot to me. But and I felt a little embarrassed a couple of times over the weekend where I ended up being the on the receiving end of a couple of speeches about how great our publisher guest of honor was and stuff like that. And it was really flattering. It was just a really nice weekend.
You know, you guys kind of are. There's only the big three, really, you know.
I don't even think that we're kind of a big deal, you know. I don't tend to think in those terms, but I realize other people do.
Yeah, it's one of those things that you're so inured into the fact that, yeah, I do this, it's my thing.
Right.
That you don't realize how other people think that it is a big fucking deal.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you have merchandise that they can't get otherwise.
And it's like, I didn't go to, like, publisher school or something like that, you know, so... I feel like this is something that I'm really into, but I'm learning a lot as I go along in some ways, and I'll have a neat idea and expand out into that. And I'm just doing what I do, but apparently other people are like really impressed by that. And I was like, it's really cool to be told that and get that positive feedback, which was really nice. The other one I did was interesting panel was, self-publishing, The Perils and Pitfalls. So it was me as a publisher and then two other self-published groups. And I was like, so am I here to like fight them in a cage match or something like that? But we actually ended up having a really good discussion and in some ways how a small press publisher can work with independent authors, you know, and you can kind of do a little of this, a little of that, and you don't have to take an all one thing or the other kind of approach to it. But what was really an experience I'd never really had before was we would throw out these URLs, right, of various publishing and editing related things and software and stuff like that. And I would just throw out a URL like it was nothing, you know, cause we're just talking. And, like, see, like, four or five people furiously scribbling it down on a notepad. And I was just like, wow, like, they're really listening to what we're saying up here. That's really something.
People are taking notes.
Yeah. Like, I was like, this is kind of cool, you know? So I may do more in the future. I'm going to do some panels at Fiesta. I'm already the writing track lead for Fiesta already emailed me about it. The writing track lead for the Confusion has been in touch, and he's going to give me basically a list of their panels and some options to choose from, and we'll end up doing like a For Planet Presents kind of panel. But I'm like, this could be like a whole new thing for me. Like, I might start doing a few more panels here and there, and it kind of gets me out into the rest of the con beyond just the dealer's room.
Yeah, where you're very... Sell.
Yeah, usually, like I would say, my point of view is usually very single focus, you know, which is partially why I rely on people to write in with their reports of how the rest of the con went, because usually I have no idea. But, it was fun to get out there and do some panels and stuff, so I guess that's about it for Rainforest. Had a good weekend. Oh, got to see my friend Nikki's comic shop.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet. If you are in the Seattle area, go to Phoenix Comics and Games. It's in the Cap Hill area. Just Google it. Mm. I think it's phoenixcomics.com. Probably more stuff coming to the website soon. But it's actually a really nice little shop. It's in a nice neighborhood. It's seems to be fairly, like, it's like the little hipster gay part of town, mm-hmm. which is kind of cool. And one thing I thought was really neat was nobody can really survive as just a comic shop nowadays. So it's really comics and games. Like, they did like a magic launch thing. Like, because mm-hmm. like that week or the week before, Magic just released a new thing, an expansion or something like that. So that was like a big thing. But what I thought was really neat were all his book displays that are in the middle of the room are all these really nice wooden metal displays that are on wheels. So when they're doing a big gaming event, he just rolls all the displays against one wall and it could double the number of gaming tables that he can get into the store. And he has a bunch of folding tables in the back, basically, that he can set up to fit a shitload of people in there. You fit like 40-something people in the store when they're having like a gaming event or a tournament or something like that. Huh. So, you know, it is pretty damn cool, and it's been like one of those like lifelong dreams of his. And it's really cool to see a friend actually achieve a lifelong dream like that. Oh, yeah. You know,
that's a lot of people's dreams, and good luck with all that.
Yeah, and he's doing well so far, so that's good. So yeah, if anybody is up in that area, totally pay him a visit. You know.
Was it Arizona or was it Kansas City the next one?
Wichita was the next one.
Wichita. I don't see any reports from that.
I thought there was one. I'm not sure.
There weren't exactly a ton of people at that con.
Yeah, it was CPF.
I see a couple about Arizona, but I don't see much.
Okay, let me try Central. No results found. Huh. I could have sworn I saw somebody write in about it. Okay, well, real quick, I'll cover Central. The next one I went to was Central Plains FurCon, which was a first-year FurCon in Wichita, Kansas, which is convenient for me because Wichita is about a 5.5-hour drive from Dallas, and it is straight up I-35.
So get on 35. You stay on 35.
Yeah.
Get off of Wichita.
You keep going. It was in an awesome hotel. It was a Drury Inn Broadview in downtown Wichita. Mm-hmm. Number one, which I mentioned to Saverin, hotel is haunted.
Oh.
It's actually on their website. It was printed in the con's con book. There was a page or two taken from a website about the haunting. Yeah. Hmm. It was built 91 years ago, I think. So, like, 1922, I want to say. And in the, I want to say in the 20s or 30s, it was a speakeasy. There was a speakeasy in the basement. And apparently there's like tunnels and stuff underneath the building. It's inaccessible, unfortunately. They're sealed off and everything. Mm-hmm. I think it would be really cool for them to actually renovate those tunnels and have that as an attraction. Because that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was just a damn nice hotel. Also, a note. The hotel restaurant is fucking awesome.
I saw some of the pictures you posted. It looked delicious.
It was just so good. And, you know, I've eaten at a lot of hotel restaurants over the years. Mm-hmm. And this was the first one where I was really like, holy shit, this hotel restaurant is really amazing.
And we have to keep coming back because of the food.
Yeah, we have to keep coming back just because this hotel is great and this hotel restaurant is awesome. Also, the first con I'd been to where the hotel had kickback party every evening from 5 to 7. You could get up to 3 free drinks.
Really?
Free booze. Yep. And they actually had them in these little gun things that attached to the bar. And it was like a local ordinance. At 7 o'clock sharp, the guns actually shut off. Hmm. So, you know, it's very closely timed. And interestingly, the Arizona FurCon Hotel had the same thing, but I'll get to that later. So I went to two cons that had like 2 hours of free booze in the evening, which is really odd. So that was really cool. I drove up there alone. I roomed with Keo and Guardian, and our friend Rahada drove over from Arkansas. So I had some folks that I already knew that I ended up eating with a couple of times. Their guest of honor was Rukus, who, as most people know, I've worked with and published quite a bit in the past. So I arrive, and she sees me, and she's like, "I'm so glad to see you." And I was like, "Oh, that's nice." She's like, "I thought I was going to be the only one." And I go to the dealer's room, and she's the only one at that point. So I said, we don't have assigned tables. The dealer's room only had about 8 tables.
So kind of pick your...
So I took the two next to Rukus, because I was like, well, let me sit next to the only other person I probably know in this dealer's room. That unfortunately did not sell out their dealer's room. It was only about half full. So there was like 5 dealers. And yeah, so pretty small. So attendance was 97 people. It very small, even for a first year con, but it has a lot of potential. I think the staff really want to make it work, and some folks are giving them suggestions on that. I really want to see it work, because like everyone that went with me was like, this was a cool place. We want to come back up here. And I think it would be a great con for us, for Dallas locals to go to, because
it's a short drive.
It's less than 6 hours away. You do what I did and go up Thursday after work and come home Sunday night, and you only have to take Friday off of work. And it was just a fun time. It was very chill, because it was a very slow, relax-a-con, basically. But they were really into it, you know. It was like, it's a small con, but they've got heart, you know, kind of thing. But we just had a really... Oh, and I lucked out totally, because it was like, there was like the super sponsor dinner, and they had one plate left, basically. It was just a circle of like 8 or 10 people at one big table, and like this one place setting wasn't going to be used. So Rukus is like, "Hey, do you want some free food?" And I was like, "Okay, sure." She's like, "Okay, we'll come to the GOH dinner." And I was like, "Okay, cool." So I ended up like getting a free meal. You know, and it was funny, was the guy to my right started asking me how the con was, and I started telling him. I started giving him some of my feedback. Turned out he was the con chair. I didn't know that, because I had not met him previously.
Which is good, because you're like, "Man, this is a piece of shit."
No. You know, I told him I was enjoying it, and I told him, you know, that they should really work on their advertising a little bit more, because it seemed like the very local area knew about it. And my advice was, cast your net wider, because me and my friends came from 6 hours away. You totally need to consider Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas,
Nebraska,
all the states around there as to be your region. Because there's a big... They're filling... The reason I think they have some potential, they're filling the same void that Fiesta fills. They're in a part of the country where there's no other fur cons around for several states. And they're at the opposite end of the Yurden Fiesta. So I think it's totally an opportunity for people that, you know, "Oh, it's been 6 months since Fiesta, ho-hum, I want to go to a con." 8 months, actually. You know, they could totally do this one. And it's in the same kind of southwesterly, central kind of region. So I had a good time. It was very good. You know, sales are obviously not what they were at a larger convention.
But you probably expected that.
I expected that, and the overhead was low, because I was only taking one day off of work, and I was only staying like 2 nights. So the dealer's tables were cheap, because it's a smaller convention. So, you know, it was definitely worth my time, because I sold more than enough to more than cover my costs. And I had a good time, and I had some good... I chatted to Rukus a lot, because there were large stretches of the con where there were no customers in the room.
Yeah, you were just kind
of... And so she just sat behind my table and just kind of chit-chatted for a while, which was cool, because we got to talk about projects and stuff like that. But,
Yeah. So that was Central Plains Fur Con. You know, if you're in the area, Wichita, Kansas, or you're like within 6 hours of it, you can get to it. You know, I'd recommend it for a very laid back, relaxed kind of low key con experience. Yeah, I had a good time. I think it has some potential to grow. Just need to get the word out there, which is kind of why I'm talking about it so much. Because I'm like, get the word out about it. Let some of our listeners know that this con is out there.
It's a thing.
I don't think they bit off more than they could chew. They handled it. Just it seemed like all their
ducks were quacking.
All their ducks were in a row. Yeah, everything was fine. So I think it has some potential. So, do you want to stop and save before hitting the Arizona Fur Con section?
Yeah, because we've been going for a while.
Okay.
Find an item, Shiva.
Okay.
If you want to get laid at a furry con,
you make sure you bring lube.
Thank you.
her back. Have you found something delightful, Shiva?
Oh, God. So, this week from Adam and Eve, we're going a little bit silly, although that's nothing really all that new. This week, we're going to be doing Super Hung Heroes, The Incredible Hunk. It is a pricey toy. It's $109.95.
Mm-hmm.
It is a giant, and I do mean giant, green penis.
Wow. Well, it's like the Hulk's cock.
That's what it is. It's the Incredible Hunk.
Oh,
it's,
okay.
It's like a 2-liter bottle of...
It is a gigantic green cock. tear your way through Comic-Con with the Incredible Hunk. What a four toy in Doc Johnson's Super Hung Heroes collection. Extra large toy, perfect for smashing and bashing. Covered with ribs and ridges from top to bottom. Measures 2.5 inches wide and 10 inches long. It's made of silicone, high grade. No gamma radiation is created in the making of this toy.
Oh, good.
Don't get Dr. Bruce Boner horny or he'll turn into the Incredible Hunk and steal your girlfriend. Once she goes green, she won't go back. I shit you not. This is the outline.
Yeah.
It's big and wow.
It's big and green.
Yeah.
Like Sarah's ass. Oh, yeah.
So, like I said, it's a pricey toy. It's $109.95. And unlike many of the other expensive toys we reviewed, our coupon code does fully apply.
Awesome.
So our coupon code is not KNOT. It gets you half off a item. So it takes us from $109.95 to $54.98. It also shaves off $8 of shipping. And you also get, with that, a free goodie. So you could get a virgin kit. I don't know what that is. An ultra enhancer ring or a fantastic finger vibe.
You better buy a lot of loop with that. Hulk smash your ass.
I just saw that scrolling through their new items. It's like, oh, yes, we're doing the giant green cock.
Nice.
So, back to emails.
Okay. So, I guess I'll go ahead and read one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. AZ Furcon. Hey, everyone. So, AZ Furcon has come and gone. I have to say I was very pleased on how everything went. The hotel was very clean and well kept. Being on a golf course also added to the atmosphere. The free happy hour from 5:30 to 7:30 every night was amazing. I've never stayed at a hotel that provided its guests with free booze for 2 hours. The con itself is very chill, which is good for a first-year con. Don't want craziness and drama to taint it. The panels were so-so, I wish there were more. My only complaint is that the major events happened at the same time as happy hour, so I didn't have a chance to see the dance competition or masquerade. Sorry, free alcohol trumps furry for me. X3. As far as I know, only one person got arrested, and a piece of sports memorabilia was broken. Which, so, for some reason, this hotel was like a sports-themed hotel, and it had, like, these big... displays, like big framed displays, like a picture of like a baseball player and some kind of plaque or something like that. Yeah. It was like three of them. Excuse me, sitting on a little side table in the lobby, and they were actually tied down with like the security locks you sometimes see on laptops and shit. And there was some other shit like that in the lobby area. And I heard that during the charity auction, somebody got rambunctious and one of them fell over and broke or something like that. I'm just like, why do you have all this shit sitting around in your lobby in the first place? But anyway, not bad for a con. I'm glad that all the naysayers were proven wrong. Kind of sad that it was mostly local furs who were in this boat. So poo-poo on you. The con will live to see another year. My favorite moments were just chilling in a room with Fuzzwolf, Tyrion, and some of the other guests of honor, eating pizza, sipping wine, and chatting about all the things. Of course, what made the con really special was experiencing it with my boyfriend, I guess that's Mio, M-Y-O.
Sounds like it.
Okay. Love my guy and love that he was able to put up with the sometimes bad behavior of furs for 3 days. All in all, I have to say this was a very successful first go for a con. With 533 attendees, I'm sure it will only grow to be one of the bigger cons this part of the country. Too bad the hotel is too small for the needs next year. Hope another nice one is chosen. Take care, Vasco. So, yeah, I got a chance to meet Vasco. He's tweeted at me a couple times. He's listened to the show. First time. I think he said this was his first con. This is something I heard a lot at AZ FurCon, actually. There's a lot of folks saying that it was their first con. So it reminded me a lot of the first year of Furry Fiesta. Because even attendance-wise, they were within, like, 9 of our first-year attendance. And a lot of people being first-timers. So this was another con that was in an area of the country that desperately needed a fur con.
Some kind of gathering.
Yeah, like, I don't think we're actually hitting a saturation point on fur cons. Like, there's the few that have come up recently have actually been in times of the year and places where, like, regionally they cover a good chunk of ground and there isn't anything much going on there. And there's been several attempts to start up a furry con in recent years in Arizona and evolve. I'm sorry, I'm tired.
It is 11.
Well, it's, and also, like, I felt so run down this week because it's like after all this traveling, I've been so busy lately.
All over the hither and yon.
Yeah, and my fucking sleep schedule's all fucked up and everything, and I'm trying to get back to normal, but yeah, I'd like to maybe take a day off or some time off this weekend, but anyway, where was I? Arizona. Yeah, there's been cool several time. Failed attempts over the years, and so it's actually really nice to see this con go off successfully, which is really nice. They are going to be doing a year two. They're going to be looking for a larger hotel. They did say this at closing ceremonies, so I'm not putting out any information that's like top secret or anything like that. But apparently the hotel kind of fucked them on a couple of contract details.
Mm-hmm.
So they are a little in the red right now, mm-hmm, from the sounds of it. So they mentioned the possibility of doing some kind of crowdfunding or something like that to maybe help give them a boost for going into year two.
Mm.
Which, yeah, it sucks that that happened, but, you know, they had a very successful first year. 533 is a really good showing for a first-year convention. And I think they have a lot of potential. It's like an 18-hour drive for us, but we actually had a really good weekend. So, like, Tieran and I had a really fun time.
Cool.
So we might end up going back. It's just balancing out our schedule and stuff. But I'd like to go back. So I'm going to share a story from Arizona FurCon that I thought was really cute in a way. We were like, oh my god! So there was like 8 or 9 guests altogether. It was Fur Planet, it was 2 people. It's me and Tieran. Rukus, Myenia, Laura Garabedian. Her friend Liz was helping her, and Telephone, who's a local fursuiter, and I think she had a helper also. Well, me and Tieran and Laura and Liz and Rukas and Myenia all went out to dinner one night, and we walked like a block or two to this Japanese restaurant,
mm-hmm,
which the wait staff actually worked with me on. I explained my allergy to soy and how that was an issue. And she pointed out like 5 or 6 items I could actually safely eat on their menu, which is pretty cool. And I ended up having like they had a ribeye that was cut into chunks so you could eat it with the chopsticks and everything. So, but anyway, so each guest of honor had a guest liaison that was basically sticking with them the whole weekend during the day.
Mm-hmm.
And our guest liaison was pretty much off duty at 7 when the dealer's room closed because we're done with what we're doing by then.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets this frantic call from somebody else on staff. It was like, did you take the dealers off site? We can't find any of the guests. They're all gone. He's like, it's like
10 o'clock, or it's like 9 o'clock. I've been off since 7. I'm watching a movie. I don't know. But apparently there was this minor panic.
Because you all disappeared together.
Because the guests went off-site. Now, here's the thing you have to consider. A lot of Arizona FurCon's con staff comes from the anime community. In fact, several members of the staff are not even furries. They're anime fans. It's just that a lot of the lacking convention in Phoenix, the local furries helped out the anime cons. A lot of them were on the con staff.
So now it's going the other way.
So the con chair was like, we want to start up a fur con here. They actually got a lot of help and support from the local anime community, which is actually really cool. But they were looking at their guests the way anime cons look at their guests. So if we were voice actors and production staff on an anime show, we would have somebody with us all weekend. And if we just vanished, that would be a thing. This would be like Andrea Libman just going for a walk down Midway Road when she comes to Nightmare Nights by herself. It's mm-hmm. not going to fucking happen, you know? So we're all used to being like guests and dealers at furry conventions where we just kind of make our own dinner plans and go and not even think about it. I guess my point of view is that, oh, that's so sweet. You know, they think we're somebody. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know? But I just thought it was kind of neat that, like, our guest liaison got this panicked call of they're off site. Oh my God.
And you're not you know? With them.
Yeah. So I thought that was kind of neat. Mm-hmm. Kind of funny. So does somebody want to read another email? Con report? Or?
I think we've hit all the cons.
Well, there's other con reports from other people that went there.
Well, there's one from yesterday.
From Dubois Le Mouffet.
Yeah, there's that one. let's see. I think it's my turn.
Yes.
Let's see. Woo! So here's another con report from Arizona.
Okay.
Hey there, Naughty Triad. It's Dubois again, and I thought I'd send a little con report, for this is the first year convention in my home state.
Yay!
Unfortunately, I only went for Saturday. Getting a room is rather pricey, and it's a two-hour drive from the more rural area I live in. I sold the blast, though. I brought a furry friend of mine along who lives nearby, and we actually had to deal with ice on the windows in the morning, being at a higher elevation. We spent most of the time hanging out with friends and meeting new people. One guy was sporting this roaring 20s persona and attire, and he was a riot to talk with. I even went to a room party for a little after some convincing for my friend, which I was rather adverse to doing since I'm not really the partying type. My aversions were swayed, though, and I ended up having a lot of laughs with people. I went to two panels. The first was the masquerade, which was pretty entertaining. The MC kept everyone's attention, and the fursuiters dancing on the stage did really well. The only downside was that the time allotted for the panel was more than was needed for the amount of participants, so they had to stall for time for a bit. The second panel I went to was Creating Your Fursona panel, which I wanted to get into because I've been in the fandom for 3 years without working out my character. It was hosted by Wicker/Telephone, and she had a lot of tips about keeping your character original and how to avoid people stealing it. I did stop by the Fur Planet table, but unfortunately missed meeting Fuzz. Tyrion was there, and I picked up Science Friction, but I got caught up in other things, and when I got back to the dealer's den, it was closed. In my previous email, I talked about how wanting to get Trevor's trick signed. Tyrion said you guys accidentally sold the copy you brought to someone else, but he said that you could sign it if I ordered it online. That's really generous of you guys, and I appreciate it a lot. Anyway, I had an awesome time at the con, and it turned out a lot better than many people were expecting. The attendance was 533 with 114 suitors. I must say, losing your con virginity certainly fuels the desire to get out there and go to more cons and events. I can't wait for next year when they'll probably have an even bigger venue, more events, and more people. Cast you later. Dubois Le Mouffet.
Cool.
So, I think that's the last one of these.
Alright.
At least con reports.
Just archive that.
Alright.
Oops, I hit the wrong button.
So at this point, we should probably just go and we can, like, run through some Tumblr questions.
Okay.
Yeah. So start at the bottom with the tumblers? The tumbles.
I'll start from... I'm going to start from the random. Just pick a random one. Okay.
So, it's my turn.
Well, fuck you.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
Anonymous asked a question. Hey, Notcast, Jeeves here. So I started a new job recently. I'm a chef. Woo! And it's keeping me super busy. Do you guys have any tips on how to balance a full-time job with a social life, particularly when such a job as mine, you'll be working long shifts, often 9 to 12 hours, 5 days a week? So, do you have a set schedule?
Yeah, that was my thought, too, because I know for me, I have a full-time job and, you know, a big time commitment I have with For Planet. The way I do it is having a couple of set events on the same day and time every week.
Yep.
You know, I have my Tuesday night get-together where some friends come over and we hang out. I have this every Friday. You know, and usually on the weekend we end up randomly getting together or something. Yeah. So if you have some set time you can work around like that, then I'd set something like that up.
Yeah, other than that, it really depends on what your social life entails. I mean, is it real-life friends? Is it, like, keeping up with people online? If you can give us some more information about that, maybe we can give some tips. But that and knowing what you like to do for a social life, it's hard to give advice.
So
yeah, I mean,
a lot of that.
Try to make a couple of points of stability, like you said.
Yeah.
And that'll be it. You know, you're not going to be out partying 9 days a week.
Nine days a week.
You know, you get a couple things and that can anchor your weeks.
And I thought my sense of time was completely fucked.
That was kind of intentional. But anyways.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, Zavin. I can't tell the difference between derp and intentional. Not with you.
All right. Pick another.
Crying. Anonymous asked a question. I hear that Flane, formerly of Clawcast and Anthropodcast, is going to be in Dallas in early November. Any chance of getting him on an episode of Notcast?
I don't know.
It depends on how much he's running in circles screaming.
And
how much Saverin isn't running around in circles screaming.
I hear those guys from GCC are going to be in town, too.
Oh, God, help
yeah,
us.
I've totally talked to them about it. I totally want to sit down and do some recording with them.
Yeah. We'll have to see.
We're going to watch some porn, I think.
Oh,
something they suggested on their show was like they want to get people together to watch some, I guess it's like an animated pony porn thing or something.
What? Yeah,
they're going to riff tracks it.
Oh, no, it's there's some shitty indie porn studio did this to get attention.
Oh.
They basically
it's like
had,
cosplay?
Yeah, they cosplay okay. And they fuck and...
Oh, whatever. God. What do they wear? Kagumi?
No, it's just us. They just wear clothing, like humanization
body
clothing.
Paint.
And they have a key marks body painted on, and they're fucking and whatever.
Oh, tell me more.
It's all boring, and it's all, like, heterosexual. What the hell?
Oh.
No lesbian horses?
I know, right? What the fuck?
Oh, man. So, I mean, if they do that, I would totally love to get on that.
You should
totally talk to Flane about being on Notcast.
I don't know. I haven't talked to that guy in a long time. So, grab another one, Shiva.
Let's see. Anonymous asks a question. I'm sensing a pattern. This anonymous guy asks a lot of questions. Have any of you guys ever owned pet rats or other rodents? I had some when I was a teenager, and now that I'm in a position when I can financially afford to keep pets again, I'm considering getting a couple more of the little squeakers. Anyway, just curious as to your feeling towards pets of this sort.
I've never owned a pet rat. I had a hamster when I was very, very young.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking like 4 or 5 years old. So I don't remember too much about the owning hamster experience.
Pet-wise, I've had dogs, cats, turtles, chickens, and ducks. And fish.
Fish are more like house plants. plants. I mean,
yeah, they don't really
they're decorations that you feed and you take care of.
My sister killed by dumping all the food into.
They don't know when to stop eating.
And they just kind of all died. And then I never got more because I was like, eh, whatever.
So.
But no, I've never owned rats. I mean, rats are cute and they're smart little things and they're not nasty. They're pets. They're cool, I guess. But I've never owned one. We've known people that own them, and they're like, oh my god, they're the best things ever.
I've had, let's see, I've had dogs, cats, parakeets, a Quaker parakeet, which is a true parrot, horses, geese, ponies.
I've got cockatiels.
Had a pony.
Was it a little pony?
Actually, she was.
Was it your little pony?
Yes, it was. And apparently we had chickens and rabbits when I was too young to remember. Never had rats, but I did work in a pet store where we had, you know, rats. And there were a couple of them that I was really fond of. And, well, like me in return, I used to, you know, take them out of the cage, put them on my shoulders, and they'd like to hide in my hair. And just kind of curl up against the back of my neck, sleep underneath my hair, and you just see a tail draping over one shoulder and a little rat nose sticking out from behind my ear on the other side as I'd be going around. And people are like, what's that? And then the little rat nose would go wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. And they'd be like, oh. And he's like, yeah, he's a nice rat. I like them. The only problem with me and rats, and the only thing that's really kept me from getting them, because they can be really sweet, is the fact that they live so very, very short. I mean, cats and dogs are bad enough that you have to say goodbye. You vastly outlive, usually, cats and dogs. So there's going to be a cycle of saying goodbye, and it always hurts. Mm-hmm. And having to do that with rats, when I think they only live between 4 and 5 years, is maybe upwards of, I think, maybe 7. That's an awful fast amount of time to keep saying goodbye. That's one reason why I won't have ferrets. My sister had ferrets, and they don't live very long. Plus, the breeding population that they use for pets in the U.S. Shares some of the breeding pool with the ones that they breed for cancer testing. And so that they tend to be rather tumor-prone.
Yep.
And just illness prone. And I, after watching my sisters die from various tumors and other things, they die too fast, they die too young, and I can't say goodbye that fast. They're lovely animals. They're sweet. I just don't want to have to keep going through that. I mean, it's bad enough when you have a cat that dies young, but I mean, when it's one that you can pretty much plan on.
Yeah. As George Carlin said, life is a series of dogs.
It kind of, when you're a pet owner, that's kind of what it is. I mean, so.
You just throw them up on the counter when you're done with them and say, give me another one of these.
No, not quite.
This was a good pet. Another.
Oh, dude.
Dude, no.
That is terrible. I'm sorry.
That's Everett.
That's a bad. Oh.
I wonder if you had to see the visualization.
If you've seen Thor, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Here's another question. Anonymous. We like the Tumblr thing. It's actually gotten us some really interesting questions.
Yeah.
The problem with dating an enclosed community like the furry fandom is that it's hard to get away from your past. I broke up with my last partner almost a year ago, and now I'm starting to date someone else in the fandom. I'm afraid of what my ex might do, so I'm causing drama, acting all immature and angry that I dare find someone else, when he discovers that I'm dating again. I know I shouldn't care what he thinks, but he can be very aggressive, emotionally speaking, when annoyed. Any advice?
Yeah, the thing is, you run into this whenever you date in any, like you said, any group, whether you're a small town. Because, yes, I've heard this come up multiple times from, I grew up in a tiny town, so hearing this is not unusual. Or in the anime community or any fandom, you know. And all you can really do is say, fuck them, you know.
Yeah, I mean, at worst, you know, it'd be like, it's just my ex.
He's a douche.
She is not, you know, is pretty vindictive, so, you know. Just ignore what she says.
Besides from what you're saying, he can get very aggressive, emotionally speaking. Block him.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, like, who cares about their emotions? They're your ex, you know? And if they're gonna, if he's gonna be a dick, then, yeah, you should totally be ignoring him anyway. And
yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that also you shouldn't obsess about it too much. I mean, it could come up, or it couldn't. I mean,
yeah,
just, you don't have to be on edge all the time. Just live your life, and if he becomes an issue,
handle it then.
Block you the know, hell out of his ass.
Don't, I mean, don't flaunt to, you know, be like, oh, this boyfriend's so much better than my last one.
Yeah, that's
you
a
know.
Surefire way to get yourself
don't
in drama.
Don't ask for the drama, you know.
But, I mean, there's also the question of, like, is this a local thing? Is this an internet boyfriend thing? I mean, there's, if it's like, you know, because I know in the Dallas community, breakups can be a thing. But, you know, if it's online, then I guess.
I remember a few years back, like, I'd just been in the community, like, a year. And I noticed a lot of strife among the locals. Like, there's constant arguing. There was a lot of little splinters of this group doesn't talk to that group and so forth. And I asked at the forum, I was like, this group is way more fragmented than any furry community I've been in before. What the fuck is the deal? And somebody pointed out, oh, you moved here, like, right after the, quote, year of horrible breakups. And apparently there was, like,
a series,
a bunch of people that all went through a series of breakups at the same time. So there was a lot of, well, all my friends aren't going to talk to all of your friends. And this was, like, in 04, 05. So we're talking a while ago and not involving anybody I know now, as far as I know. But yeah, apparently that caused a lot of it. Like, because this used to be a very tight-knit group. We had those Papa's Pizza meets where, like, 30, 40 people would meet at, like, the one fucking pizza restaurant.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I met y'all.
Yeah, and then somewhere along the way, the group kind of exploded.
Yeah, I mean, there's factions, but, I mean, there's still fur meets.
Oh, yeah.
It's just...
Yeah.
Those, I mean... obviously we have our own little circle.
Yeah. And with me, it's more that I just got too busy to really go to a lot of the big public meets, so well, I've...
That's kind of
like... And it kind of ends... You end up isolating yourself if you start going and circulating, meeting new people, too.
And, like, for me, it's...
Because you don't get close enough to any particular...
It's plus, also the whole... There's certain public behaviors I'm not comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of makes me...
Oh, I can't hump your leg while wear my tail butt plug.
Yeah.
Well, it's also... Well, people will fall off the map. They'll stop being in the fandom. They'll move away.
Mm-hmm.
And people just kind of die off. And if you don't kind of keep going to the public meets to refreshing that source of new people, it kind of... Your pool gets smaller
people
and smaller.
People forget you exist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I keep thinking about going out to Arlington for a meet, and then I forget. And that's like, crap, I missed
it. I mean, there's the Addison Fermi, there's the Plano Fermi.
Yeah.
And, like, Guardian goes to all the Fermis. Mm. But then again, it's also Guardian. Everybody knows Guardian.
Mm-hmm.
6 degrees of Guardian.
Around here, yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, point is, you know, shit happens. But people get over it and move on. So don't make a special effort to hide the fact that you're in a relationship. Just kind of move on with your life and be normal about it. Yeah. And this guy gives you shit, fuck him.
Talk shit, get hit.
Bitches get scritches. Wait, that's a good thing. Never mind. Okay. Bitches don't get scritches. So
is it my turn or is that yours?
I thought it was mine.
Go ahead.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's see. Hello, Notcast. Just a quick curious question. This is another Tumblr anon. Are you more disturbed, offended when a member of the fandom says something intolerant than when an outsider says it? For me, when I hear a non-furry say something homophobic, polyphobic, zoophobic, or that such and such fetish is wrong, or that we must conform to societal ideals or similar nonsense, I of course am upset, but I try to brush it off. When a furry says these things, however, it feels like a betrayal, an attack from the inside, like cancer. That is such a loaded question.
It really is.
Well, here's the thing.
It's loaded with potatoes.
People tend to
cheese and bacon. Sorry, go ahead.
People tend to associate furrydom with being this all-inclusive club where so long as you're a furry, everything is okay. When it's just a bunch of people that like
they have animal a common people. Interest, and even then the common interest is not exactly the same.
Yeah, it's basically furry is you like anthro animals, and sometimes you have other things that are associated to this, but people basically, yeah, there's a fandom community surrounding it, but you have to understand is people are all stitched together by one kind of very general central interest, and you really shouldn't put anything more on furry than that, because you've got all walks of life that intersect along this particular trail.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think it's entirely reasonable to assume that just because someone's furry that they're going to agree with everything that you do, except that, hey, animal people are cool. And, you know, the whole dog people fucking central mantra that we've brought up humorously in the past.
Right. And I think it can maybe feel like that if it's if you have a small, tight-knit group that you're hanging out with and you equate that to furry in a broader context, and one of them is like, ooh, you're like that, I don't want to hang out with you anymore. That could feel very personal, but that's only because it's someone in your small, tight-knit group that's doing it. It doesn't matter if they're furries or anime fans or Doctor Who fans.
If there's some dude that you just randomly stumble across out on FA, and that is like a much more personal thing to you because they're a fur, no.
I guess it also comes up if you have tied yourself into the identity politics of being a furry. Mm-hmm. If you consider that this is a majority of your identity.
And a culture thing, and rather.
A cultural thing for
rather
you,
than an interest.
Rather than an interest or something you just enjoy.
Mm.
You know, and this happens a lot in the younger furs. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of guessing a lot of this comes from younger fur. That, you know, you become more offended because you feel that this person is challenging what mm-hmm. you perceive as your identity.
It also comes up in somewhat in the whole LGBT community as well, where there's a lot of people who come up with when gay is an identity, not just that you are interested in same sex, but when you start wrapping up the other aspects that go with quote unquote being gay,
mm-hmm.
where you start getting into the pride. Some people are into it. Some people don't like pride parades. Some people are into drag queens. Some people think that that's a sorry thing to associate when it just happens to be that you're in love with another dude. And being a drag queen has nothing to do with you being in love with another dude.
Yeah. And
So you start getting that whole thing. So you're gay, and someone else that's gay says something that's disagreeing, but it has to do more with being the culture of that rather than the fact that you both happen to love men
mm-hmm.
or you both happen to love women or whatnot.
This happens in all fandoms.
Uh-huh.
I mean, people single out, like, individuals as representations of whatever fandom they claim to be representing, and that's, I mean, the Baronies get this all the time, too. You know, oh, they're all fedora neckbeards, bitter about the friend zone and want to fuck cartoon horses. And no, that's not the truth.
Only the fucking cartoon horses part, if that's true.
Probably. But, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, and anime fans are all pathetic otakus who live in their mother's basements and have hug pillows, you know, their favorite 2D waifu. And it's, you know, it's like you can take all these things and pretend that an individual representation is the entirety of the fandom when, you know, that it's... It's a fandom and not necessarily a cohesive universal identity. There's an in joke in here, and y'all aren't going to say it.
That's because we love you, Saverin.
We'll edit that in post. I was also going to say this is one of the five geek fallacies that we're all geeks, we all have to be friends. We're all geeks. We all have to be into the same things, that kind of thing. Or we all have to have the same beliefs. I don't remember them all exactly, but there's a lot of these friend fallacies. You know, oh, we're all Doctor Who fans. We all have to hang out together and we'll totally agree on everything. And we'll all like each other and all of our personalities will totally mesh. No. That is not at all true. And insert anything into the Doctor Who fans' place. Furries, bronies, otaku, whatever.
Gamers.
Yeah.
You know, it's... I actually should dig that up and post about that, because that's actually a good point.
Yeah. This point of view in the ask is very much what is well-documented geek fallacies. And
it's not just furry. It's a lot of different cultures and groups and whatnot.
So don't think that we're, like, attacking you, OP, but it's one of those things where this it's also probably an age difference thing because we've been around.
Do you remember when OP wasn't a faggot? Pepperidge Farm remembers.
What?
Oh, OP, you're not a faggot. He kind of is.
Well, in our case, it very well might leave me.
I'm kidding.
We are joking with you, OP. OPP, yeah, you know me.
There's another one of those Adventure Awaits Tumblr questions. I'm like, come on, I don't care about... I can find things way more adventurous than fucking Newsweek, okay? Just saying.
Yeah. Clop Week.
I only see one more Tumblr in here that's not the... There's
two.
Oh, wow, there's another Tumblr Awaits. Good Lord, how the fuck did I get... Oh.
I got it.
Okay.
Let's see.
It's like whack-a-mole, man. You have to go through and, like, fucking delete them all.
Alright, we've all heard of furries trying to look, feel, and sound like their fursona character, but what about trying to smell like them? A fur I know bought fox scents from a hunting store and says it helps him feel like more like a fox when he smells like one. Genius, crazy, somewhere in between.
Fucking retarded.
Considering those are usually like concentrated pee, no.
Oh my god, you fucking lifestyler. Fuck.
Do you want to smell like a hobo?
Oh my god.
Foxes in the furry world are cute and fluffy. Foxes in the real world kind of stink.
they're wild animals. They're very musky.
So you're going to end up either getting fox, and if you're a deer, do you just get musk and
roll in it?
Urea crystals and... Just make the ooded deer piss, you know?
Yeah. Oh, man. It makes running past the perfume counter at Belk's a much more traumatizing experience in a furry world.
Could you imagine if that became a thing at FurCons? Oh, my God.
Actually, you thought that dragon was controversial. Now they have, like, the furry scent zone.
I've been in sporting goods stores and smelled some of these. No.
Thank God that's not a thing yet.
I wonder if there's, like, for the hunting community, if there's, like, connoisseurs of deer piss. They, like, they taste it first. That's a good doe. That's just right. Yeah, I'm going to pour this all over myself.
I'm going to attract the biggest doe, the biggest... Buck ever.
Yeah, I'm gonna let him fuck me. And then I'm gonna chop his head off and mount it on my wall.
Oh, yeah.
Right after he mounts me. Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
It was actually a thing, though.
You dirty little doe. Look at you. You want it. Do you remember that video?
Actually, I think that's one of the lines, dirty doe.
One thing I was gonna bring up, though, is in Isolation Play, available on audible.com. Kyle actually does bring up the whole furry world issues of, like, scent and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So they have, like, special taxis for the more fragrant species.
Yes.
So they have, like, the special taxis for the foxes and stuff.
And there's, like, the deodorizer
They wear, like, Febreze and shit.
Yeah, he has a specific name for it.
It's a brand name product in this furry world.
And how, like, canid species are more affected by this because they have much more sensitive noses. So, like, Dev can't pick shit up, but Lee can.
Yeah, and, when later in the story one of the characters gets arrested, they take, you know, photos of his arms because the way the markings on the color variations on the fur are semi-unique, and they also make him take a scent strip, which basically they... rub it on his fur under his tail, and that gets the scent because they have unique scents, and they have a canid officer that guy's saying, "That's you."
Yeah.
And I'm like, so he actually did tackle that in his story, and I thought that was kind of cool.
It's something that Kyle is very good at, is actually furryizing the world, you know, bringing the whole idea of this is a world based on anthro animals.
It's and actually be different than
working that into his stories and making it a thing. And yeah, it's not just like background
there. It certainly made me appreciate football differently. And like real world football is pretty tame in comparison.
Yeah.
Nobody's pigeonholed
that,
as much.
That is really what I enjoyed about Out of Position, describing the football, is how the different species are good at different positions. You know, like you want a horse or a hare as a kicker.
Yeah, because I got the big strong
legs. For obvious reasons, yeah. But less so for, like, blocking and shit.
Yeah, you want the tigers and bears for the blockers, and, you know, wolves and foxes for quarterbacks and
runners. Because we're awesome.
And cheetahs
for
receivers, because, holy shit, they're fast.
Yes.
And deer have to wear special caps on their horns, lest they gore their opponents.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, we went all Kyle Gold fanboying there.
You should buy the book.
How's the Divisions recording coming?
It's really been a rough patch in the last little week. Because they've been doing a lot of remodeling of the complex.
Oh, yeah.
Between the remodeling and all that, I have made, like, no progress. I don't have a contract yet, so I'm not burning any time.
Mm-hmm.
But the way things are looking is just, like, I'm not going to get into it until, like, mid-November.
After Nightmare Nights
wrapped up. Because it's just... Oh, so much other stuff to do.
Yeah, totally.
And I want to put my full effort into it because I really enjoyed doing the stories.
Well, I've seen you've gotten a couple compliments already on your character acting ability for this new one.
Kyle posted a very nice comment today on his blog, and I was like, oh, that's really nice.
Yeah.
I do appreciate that because, you know, I'm still kind of new at this, but I'm working hard.
I enjoyed it when I did my.
But I mean, I do have the files. I want to get started, but it's been really slow going because just it's hard to do it when you have Mexicans singing outside or ladders clattering or the sound of pressure hoses.
Yeah,
and they're still working on painting the complex. If you couldn't tell, so it's going to be doing this for a couple more weeks.
Well, the whole place is starting to look really spiffed up. So
They've spiffed it up, and I'm glad for it, but it's just one of those...
Yeah.
I need to convert my closet into a recording studio, except I have no place to put my clothes then.
Mm-hmm. Well, you leave the clothes in there because the fabric sound dampens. It won't reverberate off the walls.
I actually did that back when I did the recordings for Cruelty.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
I recorded it in my closet.
Yeah. I mean, that's a legit thing. The only problem is airflow. You know,
it gets really hot in there.
Yeah.
And you can't do a fan. A
couple episodes of Who Furs, Teal recorded at his closet.
A really long... The only thing is that if I fucked up, I'd have to come out and stop and edit and fix it.
Mm-hmm.
But I could totally hook up, like, the podcast box to the computer and then run a long cable all the way into the back. If I was nuts, but
you don't want to do it in the bathroom.
No, but the closet's connected to the bathroom.
Oh, okay, all right. I was good because your voice will reverberate off of the tile.
Yeah, but
in the mirror.
That's just how it is.
Can you get a remote?
Distance
or operate it with the iPad? I wonder if there's a way to do that. Because then you'd be doing it over the Wi-Fi, so the distance doesn't matter.
Maybe.
I don't know if you can remote control GarageBand with an iPad.
Or just remote control your iMac in a general sense and everything on it.
Anyways, that's something I should look into. Because, I mean, I intend to do this from now on.
Right, yeah.
You know, I want to produce a lot of stories and get a lot of furry stories read and maybe do plenty of other ones, too. If you're a furry author and has a book through Fur Planet or Self Wolf or Hell, anybody, just let me know. Because I'd like to do stuff for Bad Dog Books.
Yeah, I'd be down with that.
It's not like you don't have a bunch of stories
that
need to be read.
So, yeah.
So, that'll be what my devote a lot of time to.
And then the cock went in and out and in and out.
Yes, I'll do the audiobook version of Trevor's Tricks later.
Yes.
Completely with nightstick.
Smack. Oh, God, the nightstick story. Oh.
So moving on.
That was my youthful abandon, I guess, when I would write stories that over the top.
Silly ask anonymous time. If a fox running at 33 knots ran into another fox roaming at 36, what noise does it make?
See, that was some of that fabled voice acting there.
And you shattered my hips. And you're landing on top of me, and this is gravel. Oh my god, ow. 33 knots is pretty fast. Everything is broken. And I'm coming. This is terrible.
Everything is broken, and I'm coming.
Well, it's late. Do we want to just say the rest of these for next week?
Oh, geez. Let's see. How many emails do we have? That's
quite a bit, and... Fuck. But it's almost midnight.
That's fine.
So, Kylie Rogue had a question about wanting a product idea that you want our opinion on, but you don't want to be publicized. Just email it to us. We don't have to read it on air. We'll just be like, oh, that just sounds cool, or you can't sell that, or make me one.
Or that's illegal in Alabama.
Good thing we're not in Alabama.
Yeah.
Dildos are illegal in Alabama. I mean, come on.
I think they overturned that.
Thank goodness.
That's been a few years now.
Because there are some people in Alabama that could probably use a good faux fucking.
Yes. Now we have 10 emails for next week. So we'll go with that, and any additional con reports you guys want to send in, that's Tumblr, awesome.
Stuff like that, too.
Yep.
We like the Tumblr questions because they're usually silly, mm-hmm. and they just let us ramble on about things that we're interested in.
Yeah, we also get some random shit that we haven't thought about before, which is kind of fun for just riffing on a random topic.
Yeah, plus, you know, the fact that the Tumblr is completely anonymous, you know, you don't have to attach an email to a really silly question.
Yeah.
And we don't. That way, we don't judge you.
Yes, always judging.
So, that's it for this week.
Yeah. Hopefully, we'll be back next week because next week's OklaCon, but none of us are going.
Yeah, I'm not going because I just spent all my money up in the Northeast.
I'm not going because I cannot possibly be out of contact for 3 days.
Yeah.
I would go mad.
Well, we should put out to the listeners, he's not being sarcastic about that, or, oh my god, I'm an internet addict about that. You've actually got shit going on that you need to be in contact with.
Yeah.
You know, somebody working on a convention, I need to be in.
That's like a couple weeks away.
3 weeks away.
Ugh. Mm-hmm.
You know, people need to be able to contact me, and Roman knows I love going to OklaCon. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But
and
zero
cell phone. And I like disconnecting for a while. It's really nice to get out there and not have to... And just put my phone away. Mm-hmm. It's hard for someone like me who's constantly online and connected, but it's nice.
Yeah, but it's hard when you've got convention 2 weeks later.
When you have people that need to get in contact with you and calls. Yeah. I mean, I have...
Just not this year.
I'll see how I feel. I may randomly cruise up there and it'd be like, what up, bitches?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or something.
Yup.
I don't know. But So yeah, right in. Flippity jibbity. Woo! Pause everywhere.
Yep.
I want us to say on air, we have not cracked open our gift yet from Neil Malik.
Yes.
Who came by our table at Arizona FurCon and delivered to me the largest Rice Krispie treat I have ever seen.
Oh, is that?
Yeah.
Yes.
I thought that was a Panthers.
No,
that's our Rice Krispie treat.
Holy crap.
We totally need to break off a few pieces, cut off a few pieces of that and nom some Rice Krispie before we head out for the night.
A Rice Krispie house with that.
Yeah, so apparently it's sold in, like, the college bookstore that is dorm.
They sell it at university. Walmart, too. I mean, they're around this time of year mm-hmm. when people are like, I don't want to make this myself. I'll just get this for the party. Uh-huh. Never mind the fact that Rice Krispie treats are, like, the simplest shit to make in the world.
Right.
But some people just don't want to do it.
And I am amused by the fact that the instructions in the back show you how to cut it into 16 pieces, and the nutritional facts say 20 servings. Yeah. I'm like, wait, what's happening here?
Weasels.
These are not matching up. So,
but hey, recipe treats are tasty, so.
I know I have left out a bunch of stuff from my 3Con adventures, so.
To be fair, it's been one long blur.
My apologies to anybody I left out or any important or cool events that I left out, but holy fuck, that's a lot of traveling. So.
But it's been a good overall a good experience, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've enjoyed it, but yeah, it's going to be nice to spend a weekend at home.
Yeah, oh, God, well, yes.
Yeah, well, hopefully next year we'll have lots of FurCon adventures.
Yes.
Oh, so yeah, FurCons, woo! On that note, good night.
And big balls.
You stole it.
Yep.
Stole the balls. Right out of Shiva's mouth.